Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 21st, 291st day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor at Virginia Bass. How you doing?
Wonderful. How about you?
Well, it's October. It's almost a political season.
Okay, let's try this over
again. Makes things rather interesting, sort of. So we, you know, keep plugging along, see where the life takes us, huh?
And it is still early in the morning.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully nobody was having to get up at 3 this morning. So this is like lunch break. Yeesh. Lunch
no,
with that, Virginia.
Well, you know, I seem to wake up a lot around 4 in the morning, so I guess I can see your point.
Our quote this morning comes from Edwin Friedman.
I thought we were going to say Edward Scissorhands.
No. Leadership can be thought of as a capacity to define oneself to others in a way that clarifies and expands a vision of the future. And hopefully that happens.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Probably not as easy as it sounds.
Well, I mean, you said you wanted to talk about women in business, so it would kind of rolls into that whole concept there of getting people standing out and being recognized for abilities and successes.
That sounds wonderful. You just give me a wonderful lead-in.
Yeah, I know.
Last week we
don't blow it.
Well, last week I was fortunate to be part of the Henderson Center Kiwanis second annual Women in Business event. October is Women in Business Month, I believe, and I know Fortuna is doing an event today. So it's been widely recognized in parts of the community, but this one is the first one we actually brought to Eureka last year, and we had 180 people that came, and we thought that was pretty good, and we had over 300 that showed up at this last event. But of course, we had some great honorees. Betty Chin was the nonprofit woman, which, you know, we're coming right after her visit to the Pope and with all of her other awards. So, do you know she has a write-up in Wikipedia?
Yeah.
I didn't. I thought that was pretty amazing. I don't see you in Wikipedia.
I don't take the time to do it.
I didn't know you can add your own.
I think you can.
But and then we had Kate Russell was honored for her work as a woman of distinction with her work with the honor flight. She kind of spearheaded the logistics of 2 flights most recently, and it sounded like it has been quite a challenge, but it really meant a lot to her. And then Jennifer Budwig was our Women in Businesswoman of the Year.
And she didn't mention that on Monday when she was on.
Well, we'll have to talk with her about that. I suspect she'll be fined heavily in Rotary since Kiwanis bestowed this honor on her.
Better be.
There were spies in the room.
Yeah.
I've been
sober?
Told. It was, yes.
Okay.
Yes, in the middle of the day.
Didn't mean to sneak up on you on that one.
No, but it was great because we were highlighting women for, you know, work they do in the community. And I shouldn't just say women. We have wonderful men or women that do wonderful things in this community, but there's not an opportunity to highlight people very often. And for this being only the second one that we've had in Eureka of this event, you know, I think it says that we're a little bit behind in saying, hey, you know, there's opportunity out there. People are doing well. You kind of, you know, it's letting other people know that they too can be a person of distinction and appreciated for the great job they do, no matter what they do.
KINS News and Information Time is 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Virginia Bass. Virginia, it's kind of an intriguing concept at this point, I think, for a lot of folks to try to keep abreast of what's going on. Before the show, I had asked about the airplanes. And da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay. Then we'll get to that in half of a sec. But it seems like for a lot of things, we run hot and cold. And all that's all we hear about for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it goes off the radar screen. And maybe 6 months, maybe 3 years, maybe the next decade. It comes back. And it's all same stuff. Yeah, it's like general plan. We could throw that in there also. I mean, there's a bunch of things that
Wouldn't it be nice when we don't have to talk about that
I don't
anymore?
Know. Nobody's mentioned it the last 3 months. So is nothing going on? Has it been done? Is it off the radar screen? Is somebody trying to do something without drawing public attention to it? All those scenarios could be at play, and it would all act out the same way.
Well, you know, you had to bring up the general plan, but actually, I had this conversation earlier this week with someone else from the standpoint that what's happened? Why don't we hear about it? And, you know, we just had our last meeting where we were accepting the maps. You know, basically the process is changing a bit. Once, you know, these last pieces are put together, the environmental document has to be redrawn and it has to be, like, recirculated. So for that period of time, you know, staff has to go back through and look at the consistencies or inconsistencies. And so it's not as much in the meetings, you know, it's not in the news. It's going through a process of getting the pieces put together in the form it is now, send it back out to the public, and then there'll be more hearings that do come forward. But yeah, when we were having a meeting every other week, you hear about it a lot. Right now, it's kind of waning down a bit, but it's still in a process. It's just not necessarily in the public. You don't want to be watching. It's like this part of the process is not a participatory part. It's staff putting things together.
Which is probably puts it at a higher priority to let people know that it hasn't been forgotten, but that it's just going through whatever stuff it's going through.
Yeah.
Just as a general reminder.
I agree with you.
I know. No.
What a way to start out.
Yeah, that screws up the day for you, doesn't it?
The week. My goodness. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. And you mentioned the example of the airplanes or flights. And yeah, we've been working at the Fly Humboldt, you know, the concept and the fundraising. Last year at this time, we were just going full bore to get that last $100,000 of, you know, commitment.
Very visible, very out in the community, very much there.
Right. And then in the meantime, there's been a couple of different conferences. There are lots of conversations still going on. There's carriers who certainly have interest, and they're getting more information. And it is a long process, and we are competing with other communities. And it's frustrating for me, too, because it feels like, oh, someday I just hope that I can actually come in and talk with you and, you know, give you a scoop or something.
Oh, you want a bottle of champagne across something's nose.
Hey, you know, there is an opportunity for that.
And there'll be a flat tire, and, you know, then they don't want to fly anymore.
Did you know we are getting, United is going to be bringing in their new jets, the Embraer 175. It's a new number.
The Embraer 175?
I can't remember this. I don't know. It's a 175. It's their new jets. They're 76-seaters. They will, I believe, begin service early December. And United is also adding more flights to the weekends. So we'll be up to approximately 350 seats a day, I believe, which is pretty good. They're our numbers
pushed into the daytime when the fog isn't an issue.
You know, I'll take issue with you. When they told us we weren't going to land the other day and there was a hole and we landed, it was that night that the fog just came rushing in like 2 weeks ago on a Friday. They found a little tiny hole and we made it, perfect landing. We all clapped, you know, because we were all very happy.
Yeah.
And even the one in the evening got in. So I think the fog is less of an issue now that we've got the planes that, you know, are better equipped to land, and we've got the pilots. Remember the pilots when we first started getting these planes in here? They were all new to flying the bigger jets, the regional jets. So they had to get a comfort level of this airport. And I think the other night, I was not wanting to go back, But I'd much rather be safe somewhere. But
Sure.
We've got something
coming in a couple of weeks of two fellows, one from Minneapolis and one from Milwaukee. Got to be here for Tuesday morning. They're flying to Sacramento and driving because they have to be here. And I think that's the biggest thing. I think that a lot of us have, if we're looking to host an event, it's crunch, crunch, crunch. Okay, if you got to be here, then we have to make allowances. If it's recreational or you have flexibilities built in, great. Well, then if it's in the afternoon or the next morning, who cares?
Well, and I can, I'm sure we're about to take a break at some point in time. I never know how
long. Yeah, you got
back.
About a minute to go.
All right, well, I'll start off and then we can talk more when we come back. I was recently in San Luis Obispo, and we can talk more about the meeting there. But the traveling is a challenge there as well. It's a very similar airport.
Yeah, there's a small little bump in the road, too.
We can talk more later, but I thought it was really interesting.
You just like teasing, don't you?
Hey.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Humboldt County Supervisor Virginia Bass. Reminder, Talk Shop presented by REDEC and by CDH Painting. Virginia, the concept of trying to get in, trying to get out, and it's not just Humboldt County. Certainly, we've got a compounding factor because of the fog. But all the small little puddle jumps, I'm sure Monterey is the same way, Santa Cruz is the same way, SLO is the same way. All these little guys that are all over. Redding's a little bit different.
They're down to two flights a day, though.
Well,
but you're
that's
right.
Probably because
I
five.
Well, they have an alternate airport much closer.
Yeah. You got Chico. You got Medford with a big boy, too. So,
But you got Sacramento.
Well, yeah, if you want that, yeah. And I suppose some say Santa Rosa is our option, but I don't know. When you look at what is going on with airplanes, with the small regional, I mean, Crescent City is another one that's in the same boat. Is there a future, or is Santa Rosa Santa Rosa gets you within 3 hours? Okay, and 3 hours is not bad. It's not great. Redding's 3 hours, not great, but it's not bad. I mean,
well, and it's got. We've flown out of there in the past before, but we also make a trip through the wine country. That's, we've kind of rationalized why we go down there. Certainly, we'd like something that's closer from here. But I think small airports, do have quite a future. You just have to do things a little differently, versus a big airport where you've got so many people in because you have so many flights. A lot of the money's made from, the concessions and what goes on with the passengers. And with the, our type of model, we just have to find it's not about the money's all from being the passengers and what they're spending in the terminal. It's going to be ancillary businesses that are set up on the airport property. We've talked about business parks and things like that. And Supervisor Sundberg and I are, now involved in a committee that's we've met twice, and our goal is to look at the long-term plan of how do we make it work best for our community. So yeah, there's definitely a future, but having flights is very is very important.
Well, if you do step back and look at it with that kind of a scope, you got the property across the street that is privately held. Okay, you've got the parking lot that is kind of the screwiest layout in the world, unless you drive small little.
Have you seen San Luis Obispo?
Well, I'm thinking, Yeah, you can't even make
it. Having just been there, there's a lot of similarities.
Okay, well, so maybe they're screwed up too. I'm thinking,
they're groundbreaking for a new terminal last week, actually.
Okay. But the parking lot, I can't make a turn in the truck. It's a, one of those back forward, get around.
Is that a 15-point turn?
I have. that implies I'm making contact 15 times. I don't think I hit that many as I'm trying. It just isn't laid out for certain things, and yet it's pretty well used.
Yes, it is.
So it would seem like there would be some opportunities either for a multi with the stores around the bottom or something, because there's enough traffic there and there is opportunity for commerce in that part of the county to take advantage, not just with the airplane traffic, but with other stuff. I mean, you put a restaurant on the Pacific Coast side of it, it'd be the west, all of a sudden, you might be able to put something in there on a second floor that is, people will go there for that.
You make something that becomes a destination restaurant. It's not all about just, that someone's getting on the plane and you need a cup of coffee while you're there or you're hungry while you're there. It's like, what else can you do? And there's a lot of real creativity that's happening throughout the country on how airports are actually expanding those types of their business or their, to get more financial support from those areas.
Are there any that you're aware of that are doing it in this size market that we have?
There are. I can't tell you where. I've got several papers. We keep reading and reading what other parts of the country are doing. So there are, and I'd say, I think what they referred to us as, we're not a hub, but we're a small regional, and they have all these diagrams. So there are several that are doing things that are comparable to our size of community. Now, how many of them are in California? What's different if there's something different in California? But I think they're all federal. I mean, they all deal with a federal issue, so I would think there's consistencies.
The budget shortfall this year, the $500,000 for the air. Is it the district, airplane district, or airport district?
It's division.
Okay.
Which is actually, I'm understanding now that it may be coming in not as
ugly.
In the red. So, but we'll be getting our first quarter review coming up pretty soon. And I'm hearing preliminary indications that it's, at least it's a little bit better news.
So what is the projection with these larger carriers in December? Is that increasing the capacity enough so that if the ratio remains constant, that disappears and it's self-sustaining, or is it just kind of narrow the gap?
I would say at this point it'd probably just narrow the gap. I think when you look at a lot of different factors, it would be a mistake to hinge the belief that just adding flights is going to solve all the problems, because it's about, well, what about when one of those flights disappears again? What if somebody discontinues? You got to have other plans of action already in place.
The infrastructure. Yeah. Now, somebody had said that the hangars were either going to be retrofitted, expanded, more. Is there a demand for hangar space that isn't being met right now?
We haven't talked about that in our little group yet, but I do know that there are hangars available, but not necessarily at the location that people want to have their planes.
Like the airport, for example.
Or I'm talking about which airport. Maybe someone lives closer to Murray, but they can't get a hangar in Murray, but they can get one out at ACV, but that's less convenient for them. I've had those conversations with people, and I do know that there are some refurbishing that needs to be done. And, the thing is, we just need to be able to pour a lot of our attention into the air facilities that we have, because once they deteriorate, it's very expensive to get them back up to where they need to be.
So are there opportunities with the other airports that the county has the responsibility for other than McKinleyville to build up this cash model so that they're carrying their own weight, but so that there's revenue coming in from multiple sources and multiple locations?
That would be wonderful, and that's definitely a yes. One of the problems with all of our small you know, little general aviation fields is none of them actually do bring in the money that can, you know, take care of the facilities. So part of it is
the revenue that's coming in isn't enough. There's no revenue.
Well, I think it isn't enough. I mean, if you're talking about the hangars and the space for people, it's not enough. But you can. We were trying to be really creative with talking about, well, what if you start doing special events, you know, without reggae on the runway, you know, that was just
or fly. You can do fly-ins. You can do for various things.
There's things you can do. Of course, you have to be careful. One of the ways we've actually that was helpful financially this year to the division was all the CAL FIRE planes. You know, they needed a place to be, and so I believe it was Ronerville.
We don't want to use that as a fundraising model.
No, but it is. What are we available for? You know,
well, what about like fly-ins? You know, for, and I know I'd have to be working with the city of Fortuna for this particular example, but with River Lodge, using Ronerville as a fly-in, and you come in and it's a one-day event or a one overnight, run shuttles, and you coordinate it, and the airport is used as an airport. Rather, I know some of the legislative stuff, they have one-day fly-ins and all that kind of stuff, but to do something akin to that for our area.
Well, you know, that goes along with all the brainstorming we were doing in the last couple of weeks. I actually, I'll write your name next to this one.
Oh, jeez, we better take a break.
You'll be on a committee before you know
Quick, we're out of here. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Virginia Bass.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Final couple minutes with Virginia Bass. Virginia, there was a CSAC meeting, I know, because you were talking about the airport at San Luis Obispo. Anything of significance come out of that?
You know, I think what I'd bring to you is how similar we are at other counties, even though we think we're, you know, practically a whole state apart, and then that we're different in so many ways. They have challenges, say with the Coastal Commission and cleaning up our areas that there's homeless encampments, and we're trying to work with them now to find a ways that we can actually, or people can actually manage their property so that it's not a attractant to homelessness and keeps the environmental, you know, degradation out. But in San Luis Obispo, their issue is actually dead trees. They have they're in the middle of this forest in Cambria and the surrounding area, and the trees are just dying, and they're a huge fire hazard. But the Coastal Commission has regulations that makes it very hard for someone to take out a tree that is a tree that has to go. And so they're talking with the Coastal Commission about, can you please find a way to help it? It'll help the management move more quickly of managing our property, or letting property owners do what they need to do to protect the environment. And so it's interesting to me how we think we're all very different, but when we get together and talk in a room, we have a lot of the same sorts of issues and challenges.
Well, why don't you go down the hall, go in that room, and go talk with yourself, because I think we're done. Oh, join us tomorrow morning.
I just won't answer.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, don't have a two-way dialogue. That's scary. See you tomorrow morning.